today on It's Time.
When we look at these things in the Bible, God's got a plan. And these that we read about are how we live our lives as Christians.
Welcome to It's Time, the daily Bible teaching program of Mike Kessler, pastor of the River Christian Fellowship in Twin Falls, Idaho. Today, we're going through the book of Genesis. So, turn there in your Bible and follow along with Pastor Mike.
It's time for these wounds to heal.
You know, it's interesting when we think about that. I've had a lot of bad in my life. You think about that and maybe your own self. You might look at your own life in a little bit of retrospect and say, well, man, I've had a lot of really bad junk. In fact, I don't even think God loves me because of all the bad junk that's happened in my life. But God's not limited by those things, friends. And again, what we oftentimes think is so terrible, a lot of times is the very thing that either is a ministry for other people or God protecting you and me from the evils that we could get ourselves into if God didn't allow the things to happen to us that have happened to us. I've had people tell me that. They said, you know, last Friday night, me and my high school friends, we all went out partying, and the cops pulled us over and found a bunch of booze in the car and let them all go. And I was the one that was thrown in jail, and I wasn't even the one drinking. Sound familiar at all? Why'd that happen? Because, you see, you belong to God. And because you belong to God, God deals with you as a son. Those aren't his kids. But when you're his kid, he will deal with you. And sometimes the chastisement of the Lord is painful at the time, but in the end, it will bring forth the fruit of righteousness that God desires in our life. That's the way God works. The whole world can get by with all kinds of stuff, but you're the one that's going to get caught. God doesn't love me. No, that's why you got caught. It's because God does love you. He loves you too much to let you get ripped off by the world. And no chastisement at the time is pleasant. But in the end, God uses that to refine us for the next level of where God is and how he's going to use us in the days to come. Now, again, that can be a terror. Man, God, if what I'm going through right now is preparing me for the days to come, I'm scared of the days to come. You can't be, because nobody knows the future. And people in the world also endure problems. That doesn't exempt them. But the difference between you is because you're a child of God, God will use your life to bless others. But remember, if you go through something that's hard, it may be that God will use those things to advance his kingdom through you, through your issue in your life that's so rough. Or it may be God's protecting you from things that if everything went your way, you would destroy yourself. Well, you know, God, I went down and bought a lottery ticket. I didn't win. It's like the old story. It's like, guy gets to heaven, God, why didn't you ever let me win the lottery? And he says, you never bought a ticket. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that a lot of times we can put ourselves in places that will create temptation that we're not built for. Do you know what I'm talking about? You say, man, God, I just wish I was better looking, or I just wish I was this, or I just wish I was that. And you know what? If God had put you in another body and a different financial atmosphere, we might be completely free to destroy our lives. And so we have to be very careful when we begin to challenge God and say, well, God, why have you made me like this? God says, I put you like this for a reason. You are my child. And you know, I just sometimes just got to say, okay, Lord, I'll accept that. Here you find Joseph standing before Jacob, his father, with his two grandsons, now being postured to bless them. Now, friends, again, I believe, moms, dads, there's a lot that you do with your children to either bless them or to curse them. Now, that doesn't mean that you never tell them no. It doesn't mean you never spank them. It doesn't mean you don't correct them. But the thing is, we want to be a blessing to our kids. And I've had this said oftentimes. In fact, this goes back to the story. Some of you remember a man had two sons. His younger son came to his dad and said, Dad, I want to go off to the big city. I want to be free and funky. I want to be funky and free. Give me my portion of the farm right now. Some of you know the story of the prodigal son. And his dad said, okay, so he gave him a portion of the farm. The Bible says the younger son went off partying down, did all these things, wasted, the Bible says in the old King James, wasted his inheritance on riotous living. He was a party hardy. And so he ends up eating. The only job he could get in this foreign land was eating with the pigs. Now, for a Jew boy to be eating with the pigs, you are at the bottom. And he came to his senses and he said, you know, my dad's servants are treated better than I am here. I'll go home. Maybe my dad will just hire me as a hired hand around the farm. And so he comes home. And the Bible says his father saw him a long way off. That's very significant to me. Because it tells me if he saw him a far way off, that means his dad was looking for something a long way off. And there he was. Here comes his son. And the Bible says he came and wrapped his robe around him, put a ring on his finger, hugged him by the neck, welcomed him back, killed the fatted calf, had a big party for him. The older son comes up and says, what's all this? He goes, well, your son, your brother who was in the world has come back. Oh, is that all? You never had a party for me and my friends. He was jealous. Now, a couple things. One, that's what they would do in those days. Parents, as you get older and you want to know what your kids are going to do with their inheritance when you kick off. I remember one time years ago, I was so young, so naive. I was working for NCR. They hired me. I was sitting in as they were signing me all up for the job. And they said, now, in case of your demise, who is your beneficiary? And I said, what does that mean? And she looked at me and she says, if you croak, who gets your coin? Oh, I know what that means. Well, when it comes time for you to die, it's going to be too late. It's better to entrust your children with some of the inheritance and see what they do with it. You know, if they're going to inherit your whole place, you better just try them with a little bit of money. If they spend the 10 grand you give them partying down every night, you know that if you die and they end up with your estate, they'll party themselves till they're dead. Do you realize the inheritance, moms and dads, you might give your kids may be the very thing that will kill them? So it's a wise thing to try and see what your children do with resource. This is what happened with the younger son. The father looks at the older son and says, don't you understand? Don't you know who you are? The whole farm is yours. He'd forgot who he was. And he was too busy being jealous about his brother's party and the fatted calf. He said, you need to You need to rejoice that your brother who is dead is now alive. You see, we can major on the minor, minor on the majors, and this is one of the problems. And so the blessing that you bestow upon your children in encouragements, if all you ever say to your children, everything they do is wrong, 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 you're just going to beat them down. But when they do good, tell them they do good. And regardless of no matter how they do, you always tell them that you love them. And you pick them up. You don't just, well, I love you. You pick them up and put them on your lap and hug them and bless them. Because they're going to remember that long when you're gone. And they're going to remember. And I pray that if you're a Christian family here today, you pray with your kids. We pray almost, we try to make it a habit almost every night to pray with our kids. Every night. Pray with them. And even though they pray some of the goofiest prayers from God heal my cat or find my cat, it doesn't matter because they're taking, you're training them to take their troubles to the Lord and leave them there. And those are one of the things that we do. And pretty soon you'll start hearing them say things like, thank you for mommy, or thank you for daddy, or thank you for my brother or my sister. And you begin to realize that the love of God is being conveyed to them. So important. You bestow, moms and dad, a blessing to your kids. This is exactly what Jacob was doing to his son and to his grandsons. And so it says, and Israel said to Joseph, I had not only thought to see your face, but in fact, God has shown me your offspring. So verse 12, so Joseph brought them from beside his knees, and he bowed his face to the earth. Now, by the way, this is Joseph, prime minister of Egypt, still showing his parent great homage and respect. Very important. Then Israel, verse 13. So Joseph took both Ephraim with his right hand towards Israel's left hand and Manasseh with his left hand towards Israel's right hand and brought them near to him. Then Israel stretched out, or Jacob stretched out his right hand and laid it on Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and left hand on Manasseh's head, guiding his hands knowingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who fed me all the years of my life, long to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. Let my name be named among them, and my name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. By the way, we remember, as I shared last week, when they came down from the land of Canaan down to the land of Goshen, there was about 70 of them. 400 years later, 2 million left. Wow. Talk about being blessed. Now, when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand on the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. So he took a hold of his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. And Joseph said to his father, not so, my father, for this one is the firstborn. Put your right hand on his head. But his father refused and said, I know, my son, I know. He also shall become people, and he shall be great, but truly the younger brother will be greater than he, and his descendants will become a multitude of nations. So he blessed them that day, saying, by you, Israel, shall bless, saying, may God make you as Ephraim and Manasseh. Thus he said, Ephraim before Manasseh. Then Israel, or Jacob, said to Joseph, behold, I am dying, but God will be with you and bring you back to the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to you one portion above the brothers, which I took from the hand of the Amorite, with my sword and my bow. He's saying, you get the super blessing, is what he said. Now, chapter 49, which we're not going to be able to get into today, but I just want to read the first verse. And Jacob called his sons and said, gather together that I may tell you what will befall you in the last days. Wow. Now, again, remember, when Hebrews read the scripture, obviously, what is it saying? What is the spiritual application? And what is the prophetic or the future application? Next time we get into this in chapter 49, we're going to look at that. When we look at these things in the Bible, God's got a plan. And these that we read about are how we live our lives as Christians. Not just apple pie again in the sweet by and by with some a la mode, but no, God has a way that we then should live. And these things are spelled out for us that just as Jesus went to prepare a place for us, Joseph, a Christ type in the Bible, went and prepared a place for his brethren to come and live with him. Revelation, we have the age of the church. When the age of the church is over, come and I will show you what must be after these things. The exact same phraseology that you find in chapter 48, verse 1, you find in Revelation chapter 4. After the age of the church, I'll show you what must be after the age of the church. We're in the place that God prepared for us in heaven. Question, are you prepared to go there? Now again, that's your decision. God loves you. God loves you so much, he lets you make the decisions of what you want to do. And by the way, just because God ultimately knows the decisions we all make, the Bible says in Revelation 22, he's Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, first and last, he lives in all times present. I don't know anything like that, but he does. That's why the Bible says we're predestinated. But we're only predestinated in that God knows the outcome. It does not change any one of our decisions. You're at complete freedom to either choose God or reject God. Now, first question. What are you living your life for? For yourself? Are you doing everything you want to do only to find at the end of your life you spend your life in remorse, the wish I would have, I wish I'd done this, wish I'd have done that? But when we accept Christ as our Savior, we're about his business. God, whatever time I've got left, and whether you're a teenager or whether you're in your 80s, it doesn't make any difference because whatever time we have left, God will use to influence others for his kingdom. You would think the thief on the cross would have been over and done with, and yet when Jesus looked at him and said, today you'll be with me in paradise, I think that's one of the most astounding things because it tells all of us it's never too late to receive Christ. But what a waste. Just think, he didn't have much laid up for him in heaven. And that's what I want to see all of you have. If it is a reward for you in heaven. Jesus said that. Lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. Why did he say it if it wasn't possible? Now, I don't know what treasure in heaven is when the streets are paved with gold. I don't know what a treasure would be. But the Bible says if you've been faithful over little, he'll make you faithful over much. So I think about that and I go, wow, that makes sense. I mean, if you have a company, do you promote the person that lays around all the... Well, I know some people do, but do you the boss's son? Do you promote an underachiever or do you promote the overachiever? No, you're going to promote the overachiever. So I don't know. The Bible tells us when Jesus hands out the reward system, some are made master over many cities. And some over none. I don't know all that rewards are in heaven, but I do know this. You'll be glad when you get to heaven that you're getting some. I've had people say, well, if I just get to heaven by the skin of my teeth, I'll be happy. Well, what a way to go. No, you want to go where the Lord looks at you and says, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. You want to go there where not only are you blessed, but the Father is proud of you for what you did for him. It's really important. So, what are you living your life for? That's what I always like to ask people. Next question I like to ask people. Do you want 10 more years like you just had? Or is it time for a change? You know, I said that one time in a service, and a woman came up, almost ran up the aisle, and she says, I don't want another week like I've just had. Because it's meaningless. It's empty. This morning, I just want to ask you, why are you living your life? Do you want another 10 years like you just have? Third question, what are you holding on that's so important that you can't give your life to God? Because you've got to remember, you're giving to God something that you can't keep for something you will never lose. That's pretty neat. That's a good trade, by the way, business-wise. Get rid of something you can't keep to get something you can't lose. That's good. That's a good investment. This morning, if you've never received Christ as your Savior, the Bible says to repent. What does that mean? That simply means, God, I've wasted my life. And so from this day on, I'm turning it over to you. Now, what blocks the communication between us and God is our sin. But the Bible says Jesus took our sin upon himself, which we could not do, so that we could be reconciled to the Father. In other words, we can be called his kid. That's why Jesus said, when you pray, pray like this, our Father which art in heaven. Jesus didn't come to start a religion. He came to reconcile us to the Father. That what was lost in the Garden of Eden, where God would come and walk with man in the cool of the evening. Now God is once again saying, I want to have fellowship with you. Do you know God digs talking to you? You might say, nobody likes talking to me. No, God likes talking to you. He's got a lot of things he wants to tell us. I found that if in my prayer life, if I'll shut up a little bit while I pray, God will tell me things. A lot of times I like to just tell God a lot of things he already knows. I feel better when I do that. But God says, why don't you now let me tell you what I want? And the Bible says, be still and know that I am God. It was in the still, small voice that Elijah heard God's voice. It wasn't in the mountains tearing apart. It wasn't in the wind ripping the rocks out of the side of the mountain. It was in the still, small voice. Go back and just say, okay, Lord, when I pray, when I'm driving, turn the radio off and just listen to what God might say. And God will begin to bring people to your mind, thoughts, even things that are really important, like a bill you forgot to pay or something that you paid for that you didn't pick up. It's still sitting there at the store. That has happened to me several times. You know, they have a deal. You buy the oil filters and they have to order them and you pay for them. And then you forget about it. And 3 weeks later, you're praying and all of a sudden, oh, God, speak to me thy great words. And God says, oil filters. Hey, I forgot to get those. You call on the phone. They go, yeah, we got them here for you. We wondered what happened to you. But they didn't call me telling me. God called me and told me. It's really amazing what God does. Hey, he is your best. He's your best daily planner, man. So if you're not a Christian, you want to get right with God, we're going to pray. And you can ask Jesus to forgive your sins. He died on the cross for you in your place because he loves you. And you can ask God to come in your life today and let God do something brand new in your life. If you're not right with God, you knew God maybe years ago. You'd go to Sunday school and for some miraculous reason, you're listening to this today. God wants you to come home to him today. Let's pray. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I invite you into my life today. I'm sorry I have lived my life my way. And I'm not happy. So I repent. And I ask you from this day forward to be my Lord and Savior. I believe you died on the cross for me, and your blood covered my sins. And so now fill me with your Holy Spirit. Empower me with that love for loving those that don't know you and loving you more. And so, God, I commit my life now into your hands. Thank you for eternal life. I spend eternity with you. And may you use my life to bless those and bring people closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining us on It's Time, as Pastor Mike teaches verse by verse through the Bible. If you've missed a program or would like to catch up, you can do so by getting it from the It's Time podcast in the iTunes store, or by downloading it from the It's Time website at theriverchristianfellowship.com. On behalf of Pastor Mike and the rest of us here at the River Christian Fellowship, thanks for listening, and tune in next time for It's Time.